I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the April podcast for entertaining at home with friends with myself and Nevin Maguire. Nevin, how are you?
I'm very well. Hello, and from a sunny cabin, Kira.
Yeah, it's very sunny here as well. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Oh, it's lovely. It's lovely to have a bit of warmth, and it's been unnaturally warm for March, so it has. So we're moving into April now, which is great. So it's great to see the sun.
Brilliant. Yeah, and you are going to get even more vitamin D this month. You're off to Portugal. Tell me about that.
Well, I have to tell everyone it's work. And I'm going away. Yeah. Yes, it is. We're going away to Lisbon, to Alentejo, to Porto. We're going away for 2 weeks. And when I say we, it's the TV crew. So it's a programme for RTÉ, Kira, that will be on, I think, the end of September. So 2 weeks I'm away. And that's the way we usually work, at the same five crew go. And then, you know, Claire, who's been at the plough in many years, she'll come over for 3 or 4 days and she'll help me with the recipes when I do my own cooking. So I'm looking forward to it because Portugal is a very popular area. We're going to a couple of vineyards, so I'll be thinking of you, and I might even bring you back a little sneaky bottle of Portuguese water or grape juice. And so I am looking forward to it because I love the people. I think they're great, and it'll be lovely to experience the whole country so well.
And Nevin, I don't know, can you reveal this yet? Do you know any of the producers you're going to be meeting yet, or is that still top secret?
No, it's not top secret at all. We're kind of working on the schedule. I give my list, and as we're talking this week, the lady Helen, who works with David here, who does all the TV shows, she goes over with the Portuguese Tourist Board and does a recce. So I actually won't have the schedule for about another 2 weeks, or maybe even the week before we go. But all I do know is Porto, Lisbon, Alentejo, the Algarve, and then central Portugal, which I'm not really familiar with. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Because I guess, I mean, obviously, excuse me, sorry. Because I guess as much as the TV show is about food, it's kind of really good, kind of a tourist show as well for people, because so many people go to holidays in Portugal to kind of guide them on their travels.
Do you know what? You've hit the nail right in the head. And like, food tourism is so big, and we've revolved it around food, and that could be going to a local restaurant, a local bakery, a local vineyard, and then doing something touristy. Like I know I'm definitely going to a pottery place, and I'm going to have to try and attempt to make or paint my own pottery because it's very famous. And then in Portugal for the actual cork that they use. So we're going to see it being produced in that. So that's a new experience for me and Kira. I suppose as a chef, you're always learning about food, but it's lovely to see the other side of the whole social thing and the touristy parts of the country too. So yeah, absolutely.
I actually remember being brought on holidays with my parents when I was 17, and we went on a tour one day. And they brought us out to the cork trees and told us all about how corks were made long before I was ever drinking wine. Amazing. I was only 17. I still, out of that day, that's what stands out in my mind.
That's where you got the inspiration for following the wine trail. I know you.
Right, well, we're moving into April, as we said. The weather is getting better. So I guess our dishes for this month are kind of themed around this because, you know, while Irish people eat fish right throughout the year, I certainly feel like I embrace it more in the warmer months. So tell me what's on the menu for our fish-themed entertaining at home.
Okay, well, Ciara, first of all, thank you, and it's lovely to be with you again, chatting fish, and it's lovely to see more and more people eating fish. And, you know, we've said it before, we're an island, we export a lot of fish, but I definitely think we are eating a lot of fish. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start off with a lovely, lovely, simple starter, and it's peri peri prawns with chorizo, which is lovely. And, you know, chorizo is a lovely kind of lovely kind of spicy sausage. We can make it in Ireland. They obviously eat it a lot in Spain, so they do, and it's wonderful with, so it's like a surf and turf, so it's wonderful with the prawns. And you know, you can pick a lovely Irish producer if you want Cabean Smokehouse, you know them well. They would do a lovely, and every chorizo that I've tasted is slightly different, more spicy, less spicy, softer, so everyone has their own little kind of twist and touch to it. It's like black pudding, actually.
Absolutely.
And you've met enough of them, so you do. So this one is done with some prawns, Ciara, and the key to this is getting some really good prawns. You can use the Dublin Bay prawns, they're very expensive, but probably a firm prawn, like a tiger tail prawn, which would be really delicious. And just a little bamboo skewers, and this recipe is great because it can be done on a barbecue, on a pan, on a grill, it can be cooked or in the oven, it can be cooked in many, many different ways. Mm-hmm. Just a little tip in the recipe for the bamboo skewers, if you soak them in cold water for about 20 minutes, and then that will absorb moisture and it'll stop them from burning. So that's just a little tip.
Could you use the metal skewers as well?
Of course you could. Actually, okay. Really good question, Ciara, you certainly could. And obviously you can reuse them, with the bamboo ones, they have to go obviously when they've been used. So normally for this, we're using deveined and peeled prawns. And that means the little black vein is removed from the prawns. Three prawns and maybe two or three pieces of chorizo just on the bamboo skewers. Yeah. And with this, then we're going to do a really nice, it's called a peri-peri kind of like a dressing sauce. So I have smoked paprika, which I absolutely love. Mm. And to give it a little bit of a kick, harissa spice. So there's an Irish company called Oco, and they produce the most beautiful harissa spice, which is a lovely mix of kind of like a sweet and a bit of heat there. It's really, really tasty. And with this, Ciara, peppers are the base for this. You put everything into the food processor, peppers, your harissa spice, smoked paprika, your garlic, your lemon juice, which is important, and then some extra virgin olive oil and basil, and you whiz this up. So just for everyone listening, you can make this ahead, and it'll keep for about a week in your fridge in an airtight container. You can brush it over salmon, over chicken. It doesn't have to be with prawns. For anyone that doesn't eat prawns, this will work with lots of things. And then literally what you do is start to pan fry or grill whoever you're going to cook the little skewers, and they won't take long, about 2 to 3 minutes either side, depending on the size of the prawns. And then what you do is brush it with that lovely peri peri dressing, which can be made ahead, serve extra on the side, and then a nice big salad with that, which is absolutely delicious. And it's fresh, it's quick. You can serve this with rice, serve it with pasta, serve it with a baked potato. So this could be actually the centerpiece of your meal if you wanted to. So I kind of wanted it as a starter, but also as a nice little graze and kind of platter, and you could have it as a main course if you wanted.
And it's brilliant because you can make up all the skewers in advance, so when people arrive, you're literally just putting it on the barbecue for 2 or 3 minutes. Like, it's very easy, isn't it?
That is the key. Making your little dressing, and that can be done a couple of days ahead. Try and get as fresh or prawns, or you can get frozen prawns. Once they're not glazed with ice, that's absolutely fine. Okay. If you defrost them in your fridge, and then they're deveined and they're peeled. And you can get, like, you know, there's lots of great fish shops that you can get, you know, your prawns ready. Actually, one person I might have mentioned with you, Ciara, before, he's based in Galway, Gannett Seafood.
Yes.
And Stefan, and he's one of the most interesting people I've met when it comes to preparing, filleting and delivering the fish anywhere in Ireland. Like where I live, Ciara, we live in the middle of the country. All our fish comes from Killybegs. But during lockdown, I was getting fish nearly every week or every second week, and he'd prepare it all for you. Because people do get nervous. Like, he'll peel the prawns, he'll do all that. So he has it mastered. He's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm actually very lucky because I live in Terranure, and Niall Spongy opened Saltwater Grocery last last summer. It's brilliant because I just walked down to the village, and now that's kind of part of my weekly shop. And like that, the fishmongers are just so knowledgeable and will give you great direction on, you know, what to barbecue or, you know, what's in season. It's brilliant.
Do you know, Ciara, after the last couple of years, you know, Niall Savongi, he has just blowing everything out of the water with the quality, the variety, even during lockdown, his little pop-up shops and everything.
Yeah.
He's a very clever guy. And do you know what? I've met him, but I don't know him that well. We were meant to record with him for a seafood show, but people just rave about his produce. And he, you obviously know him personally. You probably interviewed him.
What I love what Niall is doing, and also what Stefan is doing, is that I guess sometimes I feel that fish can just kind of be a bit out there sometimes, and it can be not accessible. I feel that both of them, along with other fishmongers, have just made fish so accessible and so easy, and, you know, just like part of your week rather than it being a special occasion.
Do you know what? I absolutely agree with you. And when I do, like, in particular, my Spanish seafood trails, I'm probably going to go to Portugal. They eat so much fish. They really do. And yet in Ireland, we're so lucky with our beef and our meat. And you know better than anyone the great meat we have in Ireland. But we are an island, and it's lucky to be eating more and more fish. Because I remember, like, I'm from a family of nine, and I have a couple of sisters, you know, who didn't eat fish, and now they're getting onto it. And I used to run after them with lobster, John Dory, monkfish. I used to frighten them a little bit. So I suppose I'm to blame for putting them off. But it's lovely to see people kind of embracing, as you say, the whole fish scene. That's definitely is exciting and accessible. I love that word that you said.
Absolutely. We always have a joke because a friend of ours, he kind of never takes to prawn till he was in his 20s. But then we were all kind of living together. All we bloody ate was prawns then, because he was obsessed with them, you know.
I love it.
Another fish that we're going to move on to is tuna steak. And I will never forget the first time I tasted tuna steak. I was 14. I was over in Paris on a student exchange. I thought that tuna just came in a can. I didn't know what was in front of me. But I mean, as an adult, tuna steak is just the most, I think it is my favorite fish on a barbecue. It is fantastic. Wow. I just love it. Tell me about the, now you pronounce it for me, the tuna.
Niçoise is what I called.
You're both
you do your pronunciation, Kira. Go on.
Niçoise.
Lovely. I love it. So Kira, you've actually hit the nail on the head. This is a great super healthy fish on a barbecue. Tuna is known as the fillet steak of fish, and it is a meaty, delicious fish. The key into it, I have to be honest with you, with fresh tuna, is to keep it pink in the center. Mm-hmm. That's what everyone raves about. You keep it really moist and succulent, because it's a super lean fish. It's super healthy, so it is. It has lots of the great super foods and oils in it, and it cooks really, really quickly.
Now, Nevin, tell me how, because I have messed it up a few times. I've gotten a beautiful tuna steak. I think himself messed it up, and it was definitely not pink in the middle. So give me your advice on just on getting that perfect, you know, pink in the middle.
So try and get a nice thick tuna steak, because the thinner they are, you're going to try and kind of sear them on the outside. And if you're a fishmonger, if he cuts it, because he'll get maybe a tuna loin, that's what they come from. Mm-hmm. So they do. And if he cuts it nice and thick. So for this recipe, we're using four, and they're about 4 ounces each. So it's a nice thick piece of tuna. Roughly, if you go about a little more than an inch thick, if you can ask your fishmonger for that, if you can. Okay. And nowadays in the supermarkets, you can get two little tuna steaks, vacuum packed, which are perfect. The key is, like a steak, bring it to room temperature, put a little bit of oil on it, a tiny little bit of salt and pepper, and literally a couple of minutes either side. But we'll come back to the tuna in a minute, because there's a couple of little elements in this dish.
Okay.
We'll talk about one of the things is a tapenade, and the ingredients for that is some olives. We're using some tinned anchovies, which are just drained, so it's quite a punchy dressing, this, Kira.
Okay.
The garlic cloves, of course, peeled. Everything goes into the food processor, some capers, and then some shredded basil and some lemon juice and olive oil. So this is a very classic kind of a French kind of a dressing, so it is, that really is good with lamb, really good.
Really?
And we're using the pitted black olives for this. You blend up the whole thing, and the beautiful thing about this dressing, Kira, is that it'll keep for a couple of weeks in your fridge. Even with grilled chicken, with tuna, with swordfish, it worked. It's a really, really interesting dressing. Now, obviously, you have to like olives. That's really important. And it's a full-on punchy dressing, so it is. So,
and do you chop them up, or do you put them in a processor? Or
Personally, I think in the fruit processor, kind of pulse it, don't blitz it, pulse it.
Yeah.
So that's doing the chopping. And you don't want it going like a hummus, like a really smooth. You want a little bit of texture, if you can.
Like
salsa? So that's done. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, okay. Kira. Yeah, that would be absolutely fantastic. And again, you could do this with some sun-dried tomatoes and some black olives. You can mix it a little bit. You can put in some chili into that. But the key flavour should be the capers, the beautiful anchovies and the olives. That's the key ones there for me. So it is. So that's one of the things. The dressing is very straightforward.
Sorry, Evan, while I was doing a bit of research, I found out that Julia Child is known as the person that first put tuna and anchovies into the salad.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. That she has recorded that as the recipe where she put the two fish in. That they don't have any other recipes before that.
Oh wow, okay. Well, you learn something new every day.
Don't you? Just?
You know, yeah. And I mean, like for people like you know that maybe as you said, think tuna only comes in a can. We can get some fantastic. Like there's an Irish company called Shine's Tuna, which is lovely. And actually, if you didn't want to barbecue, you couldn't get fresh tuna. That could be a lovely option for this tuna niçoise because I've seen it sometimes with cooked tuna, which is in extra virgin olive oil, and then you can do that with the dressing. So we just have a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, Dijon mustard, a little bit of lemon in there, and that's the dressing. But in this recipe, Kira, we're getting lots of lovely textures. So from baby potatoes, which you power cook, cut in half, you warm them up, some green beans, which are trimmed, and then some lovely cherry tomatoes into that, and then some baby gem. So baby gem is a great salad to use for this, Kira, because it's not like wild rocket, which is quite hot and peppery. This is crunchy. It's texture. You have enough flavour from the tapenade. You have enough flavour from that beautiful tuna and that lovely simple dressing, you know, and then you can put roasted peppers if you want to. I haven't it in the recipe, but you could. But just cherry tomatoes when they're in season. And this time of year, we're coming into the lovely season when tomatoes, basil, all that will be coming available and most people will be growing their, a lot of people will be growing their own.
Brilliant. Great. Yeah. That's delicious.
Well, it is. And it's a lovely one, Kira, because the tuna is a lovely meaty fish. And I'm always asked, you know, what fish would you recommend? You know, monkfish is always a good one. Tuna is a good one. Scallops is a good shellfish because they're a firm fish, you know, and they're a lovely kind of sweet fish too at the same time. So if people think kind of like tin tuna is going to taste the same as fresh tuna, they're both very different.
They are very different.
If you want to jazz this up, Kira, you could marinate it in some sesame oil and sprinkle some sesame seeds over it, so you're kind of getting an Asian twist onto it.
Oh, lovely!
Asian
twist to the French. And we'll finish off with the dessert, Nevin. Tell me what you've chosen.
Yeah, so this is one of my favourites, and we're coming into a beautiful strawberry season, and we're going to talk about a lemon posset, which is a very fancy name for a set cream. And in this, I've done it a wee bit different. So it's a traditional English pudding. So the traditional recipe has double cream, has sugar and lemon juice. So mine is all that too, but I put the rind and juice of a lemon, I put vanilla pod and I put passion fruit into it.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I love about this, Kira, there's no eggs in it and there's no gelatine. You have to make it a day ahead. So for entertaining, it's a perfect one. It's light. It's not heavy, it's not rich, it's foolproof. Honestly, this is one of the recipes that we make in the cookery school that when the guests make it, they make it first thing in the morning, then when they're going in the evening, they sit down and have it and they say, wow, I'm going to make that again. I'm going to make that again and again. Yeah. So that is delicious. That can be made ahead. So you put your cream into the saucepan with the sugar, the lemon juice, the lemon zest, the vanilla and the passion fruit. Bring it to the boil, taste it. If you think it's too sweet, add more lemon juice. If you think it's too bitter, add a little bit more sugar.
Right.
Okay. And then you bring that to the boil, Kira. You can pass it through the sieve. I don't know how you feel about the passion fruit seeds. I actually like them for a bit of texture and crunch.
I like them, yeah, but I can understand why people wouldn't. But I personally do enjoy them, yeah.
So if you're not a fan of them, you pass it through a sieve. And Kira, you could put it into a little glass. This is my water glass. You could put the posset into that and it will set. It'll keep in a jug. You could use it on the top of a pavlova, like a cheese curd, which is really, really quick. And what I used to do is put it into a little ramekin, leave it in the fridge overnight while that's setting overnight. And it's the reaction of lemon juice and cream. I should have said that.
Okay.
So it's a really, really simple. And then we're going to talk about our little macerated berries, which sounds really posh. So they're infused berries. Let's talk about our beautiful fruits. And we both know a good friend of ours, Pat Clark, and he'll be starting now the end of April, beginning of May, strawberry, growing the most beautiful strawberries. Mm-hmm. So I think it's hard to beat Irish soft fruits when they're in season. And that could be raspberries.
100% agree with you. When they're in season, there's just no beating them. Absolutely.
There's nothing. I mean, throughout the year, you'll get them from Egypt, Morocco, you'll get them from Spain. And they're nice. They're not bad, but they're nothing like when fruit's in season. So what I would recommend, you know, to anyone is to get extra, always have them in the freezer so you can do this recipe. They're always better. This recipe is always better with fresh fruit. That's just a personal. So we have strawberries and raspberries in this. We're going to mix this with a little bit of creme de cassis, which is the blackcurrant liqueur. If you have it, it's a great little liqueur to have at home. And you'd know this. Yeah, if you don't, you can use a little bit of blackcurrant cordial if you wanted to.
Very well.
And a good friend of ours, Des Jeffers, you know him well. Yeah, he does beautiful blackcurrant cordial. And Kira, into this a little bit of balsamic vinegar. It works so good with soft fruits. Really does. A little bit of vanilla extract. And then for a lovely little bit of freshness, a little bit of chopped mint or basil. You can use both. I'm using some mint in this. Leave this in the fridge overnight. It'll keep for about 4 or 5 days. And even just for everyone, these fruits on their own with a big ball of ice cream or a little bit of meringue, they're gorgeous. Now served with the posset, you get that creamy, tangy, kind of like cream. And then you get that lovely massive. I know, me too. And it's one of my favorite desserts. And it's actually possibly the easiest dessert that I could recommend anyone to make. It's so simple.
I mean, when you think of then, when you're sitting down after your lovely meal, you're literally just taking it out of the fridge and putting it on a plate.
Perfect. And actually, that, what you said there, Kira, because it's not something you need to take out of the fridge, like, say, you're taking a piece of meat out or the tuna to bring to room temperature. It needs to come out of the fridge cold because there's no setting agent. So, good woman. Yeah.
Now, I'd be thinking in a little shortbread biscuit on the side to dunk into. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Me and you are so alike. I'm definitely coming to your house for dinner sometime. I'd love it. So what wines have you recommended with the lovely prawns and the tuna? And I'm interested to hear what your recommendations are now.
Well, you know, I keep banging on that rosé isn't, you know, can be enjoyed any time of the year. But look, it is the start of the summer and it is rosé season. So the first two I've gone with are two rosés. And I guess, you know, Nevin, when, and obviously, but I did think about staying in France, given our tuna niçoise salad, but and because I guess Provence in France has built a marvelous reputation as being kind of the home of delicate, sophisticated rosé. But I was just thinking about the prawns, the fact that we had a bit of spice going on, the fact that we had chorizo. It's quite a full meal. So basically what I've gone with is two Spanish wines, because in Spain, with the sun high in the sky, the days are hot and the grapes have that little bit more sweetness. And the Tempranillo grape really produces wines which are rich and fruity and have good body. So the first one I've gone with is this Marqués de Carcey Rosé. And this is from Dunn. It's on special offer at the moment, €10. It's usually €12.50, but it's which is a great price now, to be honest. And this is, can you see it there?
Yeah.
Okay, this is actually from a really well-established vineyard that's been four decades on the go. It's located in Rioja, and it's basically they use this method called the free-run sangrado method, which means less contact with the skins. And the result is this lovely, pretty pale strawberry colour, some quite floral notes, but there's this rich fruit flavours of strawberry and raspberry that comes shining through. It's just got good fullness and a little bit of acidity. It's got like a good firm structure. You even get a hint of tannin on the finish. So with the prawns, this is really going to work well. It also go great with any tapas really, or a paella, but it's nice, a good full wine that I really like.
Lovely.
Another rosé then, I have to say, this is one of my favourite rosés at the moment. This is the Ross Rosé. It's from O'Brien's Wines. There's an interesting story behind this. Lynn Coyle, from O'Brien's Wines, is the wine buyer. And she actually developed this rosé with a bodega tandon in Navarra in Spain. So it's kind of cool. Like, she's behind this wine.
Fab.
Made on an artisanal scale. So you'll only find it in O'Brien's, but it's really worth making the trip because it's absolutely delicious. It's vibrant strawberry and raspberry flavours. It's got this refreshing acidity, and it just gives it all that, like, that all important balance to make it so food friendly. And it's got a lovely long dry finish. Like, again, it works well with tapas and it's great with the peri-peri prawns. This actually would carry through to your tuna as well. So I just think for $16.95, it's a really great value.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And there's a lovely story to that, you know, from O'Brien's, the lady there who you mentioned going and working it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. And I think this is the third or fourth year now that's been out. I know they're waiting on a new vintage for this season. But it's really like created a bit of a stir, actually, especially when it landed. So they're two really good rosés. I decided, Nevin, to go with the Chardonnay with the tuna because I just think it's such a cool classic combination. Tuna steak and Chardonnay, it's just perfection. Because it's a meatier fish, tuna, it can stand up to the more robust flavours of the Chardonnay. You know, No,
it's a good idea. I'm listening to you. That's brilliant. Yeah.
And just especially if you're serving it like, you know, that little bit rare. And actually, it can take a bit of oaky Chardonnay. Now, I don't like to go too oaky on it because it can kind of overpower the flavors. So what I've picked is two Chardonnays with a little bit of oak. One would say a little bit of oak, one with a little bit more. Now, if you're not into oaky Chardonnays, and I know some people aren't, Nevin, then, you know, a lovely, and if you have the budget, a fine Chablis would work obviously wonders with this as well. But if you're going to go with, if you do like a little bit of oak in your Chardonnay, the first one I picked is this Val de Leda from Tesco. It's part of the Tesco Finest range. This is from Chile. And this area, it's actually becoming one of Chile's most recognized wine regions. And it's because of its location, it's on the coast. So the climate is perfect for ripening the grapes. And they're just brimming with these tropical fruit flavors. And this shines through in this bottle. There's lovely apple flavors complemented by melon. I picked up a little bit of pineapple. It's got a really nice flavor. And then a proportion of the wine is aged in French oak. Not all of it, but it just gives it this little oomph and structure and those kind of delicious vanilla notes without overpowering the fruitness of the wine.
Okay. So
I think this is really well balanced. Now, if you are a lover of oaky Chardonnay, I'm stepping things up a little bit by going to Australia. Now, Australia is known for really loving their oak. But in recent years, Nevin, I think they've kind of come to the realization that it is a very specific taste. So they're kind of easing down on their oak presence. So they're making it more consumer friendly.
Subtle. Okay, a little bit more subtle.
So for those that do like a buttery Chardonnay though, this one is really, really good value. It comes from Lidl. It's $6.79, which is excellent value. It comes from the southeastern area of Australia where the hot temperatures create really rich wine. So you're going to get those green apple and tropical flavors that forms the fruit foundation. And then it's elevated by the vanilla and butter flavors of the oak. The oak aging isn't too overt. You know, it's not completely overpowering it. So it's a simple but robust wine. It will also work really well with your peri peri prawns. And I just think for the price point, you know, if
fantastic.
You have a few people over, Nevin, and your budget is kind of, you're looking to get more bottles rather than, you know, one or two that are a little bit more expensive. If you're on a budget, I think that is, it's a good wine at the price point.
Beautiful. My God, I love that. Like, you're obviously a big fan of rosé, first of all. You really must. No, but because, you know, over the last few months when we've been doing the chats and that, like, you know, you've discovered some fantastic roses there. So obviously they're getting more popular.
They are getting more popular. And I think they're just a gorgeous wine. My favorite thing about the rosé, and I suppose in learning over the years, is, you know, Nevin, before they kind of had a bad rep, they were like sickly sweet Ribena for years. And I think the whole resurgence of it in recent years, especially in the Provence area of France, has just revealed that it can be such a lovely, delicate, food-friendly wine. The winemakers have really concentrated on it in recent years. And I think what's coming out of that is such a good selection. Mm-hmm. And you see the selection on the shelves. Even if you look a few years ago, you know, your selection of rosé was quite small. But now you're seeing rosé sales the whole time. And, you know, there's definitely a lot more choice out there.
You know, that's a really interesting point because you do see it in the supermarkets. And obviously when people are drinking it more, we would see it in the restaurant, particularly during the summer, that a lot of people like a rosé. So they do. You see it when you're on your holidays. So they are two very interesting ones. As you said, everyone thinks Aix-Provence or wherever that region in France. But you pick those lovely Spanish ones, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. And Italy does some lovely rosés as well. Maybe we'll go there during the summer. But are you seeing more rosé being served? Being ordered with meals, or is it more for a drink before?
Yeah, really. I definitely think before dinner, yeah. Because Ciara, as I said to you before, we do like our 9-course tasting menu and matching wines. So you have a champagne, some whites, reds, dessert wine. And, you know, so they have a lovely mix and a lovely experience. I think that's what that's what it's for. And can I ask you, Ciara, would those roses, would they work with the dessert? Do you think that, you know, those fruits would
work
with
that? Yeah, the little sweetness would work well with it. Absolutely. With the lemon. Yeah, it would definitely. That's why I love about rosé is you literally can start at with a welcome drink and it can carry you through the whole meal.
Fantastic. And they're lovely. I love the way you've went for the nice kind of the Chardonnay, which is one of my particular favourite wines.
Do you like Chardonnay?
Oh, I do like Chardonnay. I have to say. And I think that works really well, as you said, with that nice meaty tuna, that firm kind of fish. It's not like cod, which is soft or hake. This is a firm, it's like a steak. So it will hold up to that lovely, lovely flavours from the Chardonnay. Well done.
Absolutely. I was writing about Chardonnay last year for Irish Punch magazine, and what I found most interesting though about Chardonnay is it is that people either love it or hate it and if they don't like it, aren't willing to try it. And
yes,
that's something that I'm really trying to put out there. My sister would be like, I won't touch a Chardonnay. But there is a massive difference between a Chablis and, you know, an Australian Chardonnay, even though they both are Chardonnays.
Chalk and cheese.
Absolutely worlds apart in terms of wine. So what I would say to people is, if you are someone that's like, no, Chardonnay is not for me, I would just encourage people to give it a try, you know, especially if you're, say, at an event or something like that. If you're at a wedding and there's Chardonnay on the menu, have a glass and just try it, because it could be a Chardonnay that you love.
That's true. And I mean, I love, everyone's kind of different taste buds, and you know, they might like the rosé or you might like the Chardonnay. So I think you've given people a lovely choice there for the wines. Well done.
Brilliant. Thank you. Okay, so next month we're heading to Mexico. Now we're going to have a Sambrero ready. So that's one definitely not to be missed. Thank you so much and enjoy your time in Portugal.
Listen, you look after yourself and we will chat very soon, Ciara. Okay.
So
bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.